Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Good Friday service here at Faith Bible Church. Today is a somber day as we remember Jesus's death and crucifixion. So it's a somber day, but it's also a day that we, oddly enough, call Good Friday. And so this service is a service that has a great seriousness to it, a great somberness to it, as we reflect and remember Jesus's life, crucifixion, and death. And so tonight we will be reading a variety of scriptures from the Bible, all of them either prophesying about Jesus's death and his crucifixion or the actual passion account where Jesus is crucified, where Jesus is nailed to the cross. And so as the service goes on, we are going to be reducing the lights. The lights will get dimmer and dimmer as the service goes on, as a reflection of how the light of the world was being snuffed out, how darkness was being enclosed upon the cross. And so as we start tonight, let me open in prayer, and then we will begin by singing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, oh, how we love you, and oh, how we love your Son. And oh, God, how we on this day think of how you sent your Son to live the perfect life, to die the death that we could not die but deserve to die, in order to raise us who believe in you to eternal life. And so, Father God, as we think of tonight, as we reflect upon the cross, would you prepare our hearts and soften our hearts and humble our hearts in your presence? And would you give us a delight in you and a seriousness for you and a reflection upon the weight of our sin that was upon your shoulders? And so, God, prepare our hearts tonight. And help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, we pray. In Christ's mighty name, amen.
I'm reading tonight from Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds him in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree, the Lord said to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Matthew 26, 36 through 56. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners and deserted by his disciples. A reading from Matthew 26, 36 through 56. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again for the second time he went away and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And while he was still speaking, Judas came, and one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, Greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled. See, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.
The pain of betrayal, encroaching darkness, a reading from Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles. And my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those who remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut out in so that I cannot escape. My eyes grow dim with sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do You work wonders for the dead. Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you, O Lord. Why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me, afflicted and close to death from my youth up? I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me with dreadful assaults to destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. Companions to shun me, and you have made me a horror to them. I am shut up in, so I cannot escape, and my eyes go dim with sorrow.
The trial, condemnation, and mocking of the Christ, the Son of God. A reading from Matthew 26, verses 57 through 68. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you, by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard this blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?"
The Son of Man unashamedly follows the will of the Father, even in suffering. A reading from Isaiah 54 through 10. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God had opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know what I shall not, that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near and near me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in his name and of the Lord and rely on his God. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.
Psalm 56. In the darkness, the Christ puts his trust in the Father. A reading from Psalm 56. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long. An attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape. In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of my life. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you.
Isaiah 52, verses 13 to chapter 53 to 12. The Son of Man is pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. A reading from Isaiah 52, 13 to 53, 12. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, everyone, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for this transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins.
The Son of Man is crucified. A reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers too mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There is an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And indeed, we justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom? And he said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. He poured out his life.
Lamentations 3, 1-8, 1-8. The Son of Man bears the wrath of God for sins of his people. A reading from Lamentations 3, 1-8. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again. The whole day long, he has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walked me about so that I cannot escape. He's made my chains heavy, though I call and cry for him. He shuts out my prayer. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
The Son of God is forsaken by the Father. A reading from Psalm 22, 1-19. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers are trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. but you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid.
The Christ suffered and died to rescue his people, a reading from Hebrews 2, 9 to 18. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of his death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell you of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God.
What is so good about Good Friday? Everything about that Friday seems not just bad, but horrible and tragic. It all really started on Thursday when things started to get real bad for Jesus. First, there was the betrayal of Judas. This man was part of Jesus' 12 closest disciples. Judas was sent out with the others to preach about the kingdom of God, to heal those of various diseases, to cast out demons. Jesus put Judas in charge of the finances for their ministry. Jesus washed Judas's feet at the Last Supper. Judas was there at the table, partaking of Jesus' last meal before his death. And yet Judas betrayed Jesus and turned him over to the Jewish religious leaders for 30 pieces of silver. Have you ever felt the sting of betrayal? Jesus certainly has, and in a way that cut deeper than we will ever feel. Then there was the time in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus took his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and asked them to go with him to pray and keep watch with him, for he was greatly distressed. And yet they could not keep their eyes open and be there for their Lord, their master, their teacher. And then immediately after this, a band of soldiers, led by the betrayer Judas, arrived in the garden to arrest Jesus, which they do. And then all of Jesus' disciples flee. They all left him. And then what makes matters worse is that three times Peter denies that he even knows Jesus. The sting of all the betrayal and the abandonment by the people closest to him certainly does not seem good, but bad. Then there were the several trials that Jesus had to endure from late Thursday night into the early hours of Friday morning. He appeared before the Jewish religious leaders, where they falsely accused him on several accounts. And after a ruling that he was guilty of blasphemy, he was subsequently beaten, mocked, and spit upon. The trial with Pilate, the governor of the Roman over the Roman region, ended in a similar fashion. Though Pilate found no guilt in Jesus, the crowds demanded that Jesus be crucified. And looking to please the crowds, the coward Pilate sentenced Jesus to be crucified, even though he was innocent. Jesus is then subsequently flogged, which is the inhumane form of torture that would brutally lacerate and tear up the skin and muscles of his back to shreds. A crown of thorn was then pierced into his scalp, causing blood to course down his face. He also endured being insulted, beaten, and spat upon. All the false accusations, all the mockery, all the torture certainly does not seem good, but bad. And then there was the crucifixion. Jesus was forced to carry his cross, this old, rugged, splintered cross, up to Golgotha, where he was crucified. Carrying the cross would have inevitably scraped against his already raw, exposed back, causing even more pain. Thick nails were then pounded into Jesus' hands and feet in order to nail Jesus to the cross. Crucifixion was so painful that they literally had to invent a word to describe it. The word excruciate has its origin in Roman crucifixion. Ex meaning out of or from, and cruciate, cross. You can even hear the English word crucify from the word excruciate. In addition to the extremely excruciating physical pain, Jesus continued to be mocked, insulted, and spat upon by those passing by. Nailed to a cross in order to unjustly suffer a slow, agonizingly painful death certainly does not seem good, but bad. But the worst thing was yet to come. All of these things certainly seemed bad, but they paled in comparison to what Jesus would endure next. Even though it was high noon, a deep, thick darkness covered the land until 3 p.m. And then Jesus cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus the Son, from eternity past, has experienced perfect communion with God the Father. And for the first and last time ever, he experienced being forsaken by God. In some way that we cannot comprehend, Jesus felt real abandonment by God the Father. And the weight of that forsakenness was crushing. Being abandoned by God the Father at the time of Jesus' greatest need certainly does not seem good, but bad. And so what is so good about Good Friday? Good Friday is good because all of these bad things that happened to Jesus were ordained by God to bring about the greatest good we could ever have hoped for. The reality is that every one of us deserves to bear the wrath of God because of our sin. And one sin against an infinitely holy God requires an infinite punishment. But Jesus came in order to be the substitute for his people. He would take upon their sin on his shoulders, and therefore he would also take their place in receiving the wrath of God for their sin. And so Jesus endured the infinite wrath of God for every sin that you have committed, are committing, and ever will commit. And as a result, the wrath of God toward our sin has been satisfied. The infinite debt that we owe due to our sin, which we could never in a billion millennia of ages ever come close to paying off, was paid in full with a check written in the blood of Christ. We are no longer separated from God because of our sins, but rather our relationship with God has been restored. We have been declared right before God because Jesus bore our sin and its corresponding wrath. You see, there was a great exchange made at the cross. On the cross, our sins were put on Jesus, and in exchange, Jesus' righteousness was put on us. Jesus became sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This exchange, however, is not for everyone without exception. The exchange only happened for those who repent and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you receive Christ, then he bore your sins, and he bore the wrath reserved for you. And in exchange, you are clothed in his righteousness. You are united with Christ. You are declared right before God. Your sins are forgiven, and you enjoy eternal life now and forevermore. And the greatest joy and treasure of your heart is that God declares, "You are mine." This is what is so good about Good Friday. And so for those of you who've already received Christ as your Savior, then I encourage you between now and Resurrection Sunday to reflect upon the fact that your sin necessitated Jesus to come and die and rescue you. Reflect on the fact that, as the song that we sang earlier, it was your sin upon his shoulders. It was your mocking voice that was among the scoffers. It was your sin that held Jesus to the cross. Let that lead you to genuine confession of sin, an authentic, life-changing repentance. And may it also lead you to give thanks, with a sincere heart to Jesus, who suffered the horrors of Good Friday, so that you would never have to experience the horror of God's wrath. Instead, you experience the fully satisfying joy of God's presence. And for those of you, maybe here tonight or maybe listening right now online, for those of you who have not trusted in Christ, then I encourage you also between now and Easter Sunday to reflect upon sin and its consequences. If you choose to deal with your sin on your own and not depend on Christ, you will also bear the infinite weight of your sin and the corresponding infinite wrath of God. I plead with you, pray and ask God to soften your heart, to receive Christ this Easter. Ask God to give you the faith to believe and to trust and treasure Christ. So what's so good about Good Friday? The worst day in human history, namely the unjust crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, was ordained by God to bring about the greatest good, namely salvation for those who believe and receive Christ. May we all behold Jesus upon the cross and trust what his sacrifice accomplished. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to bear our sins on the cross and to endure the wrath that we, Father, deserved for our sin. Thank you that he stepped in as our substitute so that we might be saved from our sin and restored in our relationship with you. Father, as we reflect on the cross and on Jesus' sacrifice, would it drive us to greater joy and delight in Christ, in the salvation that he has secured for us through his death on our behalf? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for satisfying the wrath of God for our sins and enduring the agonies of the cross for me. We ask these things in the priceless and the precious name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, led to be slaughtered to take away the sins of the world. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we're going to do a few more of the reader congregational responses, and then I will pray. I will extinguish the last candle representing the death of Christ. And then I encourage you to either take time to pray in silence, or when you feel ready, to process out in silence in reverence of Christ and his sacrifice. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last.
"Jesus, remember me when you come
Oh, Jesus, it was our sin that held you there to the cross. We cry out for forgiveness, but we also cry out with thanksgiving that you made a way for us, the only way, to escape condemnation and to be in the presence of God forevermore. And it is only through you, Jesus. And so, Father God, as we reflect upon the life, crucifixion, and death of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would soften our hearts, humble our hearts in your presence. Would we come to experience the weight of our sin, and would it lead us not to run away from you, but to run towards you and to delight in you and to throw ourselves upon Jesus, where our hope and our help comes from. Help us, God, as we wait for Sunday to come when we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Help us now to wait in reverent hope and with great thanksgiving for the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.